Hey, everybody. Welcome. Steve Wollenhaus here, your host on Anatomy of Success. To be better at taking risks, do these six things is the topic of our conversation today. So glad you joined us. Let's get started. Welcome back again, everybody. I'm your host, Steve Wollenhaus, and this is Anatomy of Success. Glad you joined us. Here for the first time, welcome. Hope you come back. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast, then head over to weatherology.com/Steve. At the top of that page, find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and grab the Weatherology mobile app. It's free. Think you'll like it. International audio available now. Some new great features coming on board this year. You know, like so many cliches and fashionable terms, risk-taking has gained popular notoriety among entrepreneurs, part of the nomenclature. People like Richard Branson advocate risk-taking is essential to achieve remarkable success. However, is risk-taking truly advantageous for everyone? That's the question I ask you today. The problem, most people take unnecessary risks and avoid the calculated risks that could be beneficial. I talk about calculated risks in my book, Anatomy of Success, and there's a big difference. You know how I feel about these cliches when we throw out find your why, join a tribe, you know, take risks, you know, make mistakes, fail forward. All these things that we embrace, some of the applications make a lot of sense, but when we step back and really assess the efficacy of these ideas, we start to appreciate there's some things about those ideas that may not be applicable and beneficial to us in their truest form that they're presented. You know, we jump into the latest fad. We get swept away with the intoxicating temptations and immediate gratification promises that are offered. I advocate taking calculated risks, which forces us to be patient, pause, and gain perspective on the decisions that we're attempting to make. According to Stephen McCraney, the master has failed more times than the beginner has even tried. Here are six tips for making risk-taking much more palatable. Number one, setbacks. Many people possess a genuine fear of failing. We've talked about that in recent episodes. I've written about that on LinkedIn. I prefer to call failure setbacks, which makes them sound a little less ominous and helps us put our efforts to grow in proper perspective. Abraham Lincoln lost 8 elections in his lifetime, had 2 failed businesses. Just before becoming president, he suffered a bona fide nervous breakdown. The mental fortitude he developed helped him provide the leadership America needed during one of its most darkest times. When we take risks, sometimes we stumble. Learning to be shrewd helps us avoid costly mistakes. Learning to be realistic helps us appreciate setbacks are part of the journey, and we no longer make those setbacks so debilitating that we allow those things to discourage us from taking future calculated risks. Number two, overconfidence. Building confidence is a great way to embrace big challenges. Ohio State University management professor Jay Barney and Lowell Berzenitz of the University of Houston asked 124 successful entrepreneurs and 95 top managers to answer a round of questions and rate how sure they felt about their responses. Now, both groups demonstrated confidence. The results proved that the entrepreneurs had an exceptionally high level of confidence. The problem, that study also revealed most entrepreneurs are overconfident about their prospects of entrepreneurial success. Even business experts told them they would likely fail, but they went ahead anyway. And that's part of the reason why so many businesses fail, folks, in this country, because so many people believe they can be an entrepreneur, that they have what it takes to pull it off. The reality of it is very few do. And we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to be honest about our ability to make the commitment necessary to be a successful entrepreneur. We have to know our limitations. We have to carefully consider our big, ambitious plans in the context of how it impacts our personal life. Everyone believes they can run a successful company, but the statistics don't coincide with that exuberance. Before taking big risks, we need to examine all the evidence to determine if our idea has any validity and what could potentially interfere with our strategy. Being overconfident is a human bias. It's called confidence bias. And that can get us into big trouble every time, especially as it pertains to our self-imposed perception of confidence. Next, fear. Failing is one thing, but fear of failure is far more insidious. It prevents us from achieving our dreams before we even start. It convinces us that our efforts are futile. And this ties in closely with what we just discussed. There's nothing wrong with confidence as long as it's predicated on genuine assessment of your ability level. In a recent study published in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, researchers found that successful people focus on results rather than focusing on attempting not to fail. Sounds simple in theory, but it's very difficult to apply this advice when the ramifications for failure seem so severe. So what's the answer? Well, things I talk about very often on this program and in my writing. We have to be more optimistic and remain positive. Successful people view failure in the appropriate context. It's part of the success journey. We have a growth mindset. We don't consider setbacks as fatal, as you know, and we push on. When we stumble, we pick ourselves up and move on. We learn from our lessons. Next, we have to silence our mind. Silencing our mind is a great technique for reducing brain chatter. It trains our brain to ignore the noise and be present. We take a walk, we soak in our surroundings. That's being present. And it also discourages unwanted noise. Staying healthy, being present is a great way to keep our adrenaline and cortisol levels under control. Managing stress helps us assess risk and be much less emotionally volatile. We do that by silencing our mind. Next, uncertainty. You know, there's a book called Think Less, Learn More by Srini Pillai. She's the associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard. Now, she says biology plays a very small part in our risk-taking abilities compared to the environmental factors. He believes one of the most effective ways we can build resilience against the anxiety risk-taking can cause is to tap into the power of the unfocused mind. We have to learn to trust our intuition and use lessons from the past to make better decisions. This gentleman believes between 90 and 98% of mental activity is unconscious. That's amazing. To be a better risk taker, it is vital to let our subconscious mind take over sometimes, helping our brain to retrieve some of those beautiful lost memories that have provided us with valuable lessons and use them. Next and finally, we have to recalibrate and believe. You know, many people quickly gravitate toward catastrophic thinking, and that makes them struggle even more with risk. A classic example of uncertainty that gives many people anxiety: public speaking. According to research, many people fear public speaking more than death. So if I was to ask you to give a keynote speech, you may think of one of two things: your career advantages or how terribly wrong the speech may go. You know, by recalibrating our thinking, we start to learn how to be more comfortable with uncertainty, and we start to attach less importance to the judgment of others. Most catastrophic thinking originates from feeling out of control. We feel out of control, so we try to control our feelings by predicting that worst case scenario. Next time that happens, write down your irrational thoughts, then evaluate those worst case scenarios and really try to ascertain any of its efficacy. Most of the time, it's just imagined. Some level of risk is always necessary when pursuing our big dreams, but we have to ask ourselves, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? My dad used to say that all the time to me growing up, and it really puts things into perspective. Do you struggle with risk? I hope these six things we talked about today will help you start to reframe what I call calculated risks a little bit more realistically and start to become a little bit more bold in your efforts to jump outside your comfort zone. I'm Steve Wollenhaus. This is Anatomy of Success. Glad you joined us. Tell your friends about what we're doing here. Come back and join us next week. Until then, let's stay focused, let's stay positive, and let's stay optimistic.